just dedicate this time to Him in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, may You have Your will and Your way in this place today in Jesus' name, Lord. We come here, Lord, to honor You, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Honor in word and deed. Honor, Lord, to be here in Your presence in Jesus' name, Lord. You deserve the honor and the glory in Jesus' name, Lord. We hold You in high regard, Lord, in our thoughts and our actions, in adoration to You, Lord, in our praise and our worship and our devotion to You today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be in Your presence in Your house here right now in Jesus' name. We lift You up. We magnify You. We praise You. We give You the glory and honor, for it is due unto You in Jesus' name, the name that is above all names. We honor You in this place in Jesus' name.
Lord, we give You glory.
Glory, and You.
was a remnant of 500 that went to an upper room, and they stayed in one mind and one accord for up to 10 days. It wasn't the same number that they started out with, but something about being in one place and one accord, the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost began to sweep in that place. Whether two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I would be there. It is such a sweet presence of God in this place. When we are in one mind and one accord with the presence of God, anything could happen. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit just move in this place and have his way. It changes my whole perspective on things. My expectation begins to rise. I start to expect things from God. I start to expect the miraculous in his presence. I start to see people being delivered. We get a vision of that. Does anybody have a vision of seeing a lost loved one come through the house, through these doors, in Jesus' name? Anything is possible. There is nothing too hard for the Lord when we begin to lift him up and magnify him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the endless possibilities, Lord. May we take the limits off of our heart and our mind, and Lord, and allow you to have your perfect will and your way in this place. May this mind, Lord, have its perfect will and its perfect way, Lord, in this place, according to your will, Lord. May our will be lined up with your will, Lord. May we have your heart and your mind, Lord, in this place today, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Hallelujah. Grab your Bibles. We're going to get into our lesson for this morning. Lesson is about the atonement through the blood. And in Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to read a few verses, 11 through 22, and I'll have you be seated after we read that. It says, but Christ, being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once to a holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. Amen. For this cause, he is the mediator to the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that we under the first testament, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also the necessity be the death of the testator. He had to die. But it was for a reason. For the testament is to force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged without blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You could be seated this morning. Aren't you thankful for the blood? In an article entitled the blood of Jesus Christ. Pastor James Roby Roy, the entire Word of God centers around the doctrine of the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. There is an atonement for our sin. This is the most vital truth in the entirety of the Bible. It's not an accident that a couple decades ago, modernists began to remove the blood songs from their hymnals. At first, there was a great outcry from some of the church members, but as time went on, the controversy subsided. None of them wanted to be associated with a slaughterhouse religion. But I'm here to testify, and I believe others have this testimony, that the blood still works and it has never lost its power. What can wash away my sin? This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. In sin I wandered sore and sad, bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and sweetly said, I will take thy sins away. Thank God for the blood that washes whiter than snow, in Jesus' name. I know there is a generation when they sing that and they think about the words. They might not be able to hit the melody, but when they think of the words of those hymnals, they can't help but have a spirit of gratitude and praise in their heart, in Jesus' name. The blood still works. It has never lost its power. I know this because it has filled me, it has raised me, and it has saved me, in Jesus' name. The blood still works. Thank God for the blood. There are some things that money and gold or silver or bartering for exchange just won't be able to pay for in this life, to see the life to come. The Old Testament and the blood covering, it began in Eden. Adam and Eve ran up a debt of sin without the foggiest idea, how am I going to pay for this, for what I've done? Though the first couple had no idea how to even begin to retire this debt of sin, God immediately began to teach them and show them how things were to be handled. It's not specifically mentioned in the first three chapters of Genesis, but that the lives of sacrificial animals would have to provide a temporary atonement for sin. But it's obviously God's actions recorded there for the skins to be used as a covering for the guilty. It was necessary for animals to die. From the Lord's example of the slaying of animals for them, and probably from further instructions, the book of Genesis does not record, Adam and Eve and their sons Cain and Abel learned to bring sacrificial offerings unto the Lord. In the case of Cain and Abel, the biblical account reveals that both of them brought sacrifices unto the Lord, but only Abel followed the pattern that the Lord himself had established inside the gates of Eden. God accepted Abel's sacrifice taken from his flock. But the bloodless offering of Cain was a currency that was not adequate in the bank of heaven. As a temporary solution, the fig leaves were extremely temporary and did not last very long after they were ripped off the trees and plants that they came from. At best, the coats of Eden would only cover the physical nakedness of Adam and Eve, but their sin was still exposed before the all-seeing eye of God. I'm thankful for what he is able to see in my time of need, but it is times when we lose our faith that we try to do things in secret that God, we think that God cannot see. But I'm thankful for the blood that has never lost its power, and I'm thankful for his forgiveness, and I'm thankful for his deliverance in Jesus' name, that I don't have to live in my past, that he takes my past and he washes it away. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no... I need that blood. I need that blood in my life. I need that blood to cover me. I need that blood to cover my past. Maybe something I did this past week that I'm totally ashamed of. That if anybody else knew about it other than God, I would be ashamed to even walk in the house of the Lord. But I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus that washes me white as snow. In Jesus' name. The animal skins demonstrated a temporary nature of the solution for sin. It looked forward to a better day. I don't know what God does, what he's able to do. He is able to give us hope. He is able to give us hope in the things that he reveals to us in little ways. And I'm so thankful for that. If you have hope in anything, if you feel like you're in a hopeless state of mind, in a hopeless situation, God, that source of hope comes from him and him alone. you may not see things come to fruition the way that you thought you may have seen them coming in your mind. But God has put that hope in you and an expectation in you that he does have a way, that he does have a plan, that I will trust you and I will follow you. I've made a mess of things. I'm not for sure what tomorrow may bring, but I'm going to trust in you. Lord, I trusted in you when I was baptized in your name and you washed away my past of my sin. And without that shedding of blood for remission of sins, I could honestly say that my past is gone in Jesus' name. And every time I reminded him of my past, I could say, my past is gone. It was washed away. Thank you, Lord. The type of Calvary's lamb and the various sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament, God gave symbolic offerings of what he would be like, what he had accomplished in the days of his flesh and his ministry here on earth. The lamb and the dove can symbolize harmless purity, while the bullock stood for the strength of your burden bearer. The goat could very well symbolize the willful and independent nature of humanity that Jesus Christ brought into submission in Gethsemane for sacrifice on the cross. God is constantly showing us things throughout Scripture, throughout our life as we live here today on this earth. As Passover lamb in Exodus 12:3, it says, speaking into all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And the unblemished lamb, the Passover lamb, was to be chosen and kept separate 4 days before it was slain. It was to be very well inspected to see if there was any imperfection in this spotless, blameless lamb. It was set off aside from all the other lambs, in Jesus' name. Jesus walked among men for a sufficient length of time to give the heads of the nation sufficient opportunity to examine his life and doctrine for any flaws or blemishes which they could not find one. During his trial, at his last examination, they cannot point to any blemish in any area in his life throughout his ministry. Jesus' daily life was open before all who cared and took for care to look. If they cared to look, they would look. If they did not care, it did not mean anything to them. But he died for them just as well. Under the most deliberate inspection, there was no flaw to be found in Jesus Christ. Since his enemies were conducting the examination, the fact that no blemish was found declares that he was indeed well qualified to offer himself as a Passover and to be an atonement for our sins. In Jesus' name. Aren't you thankful for the blood? Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in every way. When we think about this and we think about how great of temptations and things that we face and that we encounter, those things in secret. I was telling somebody else, there's things that we have a public life that you see us on the open. And then we have those areas in our life where we are behind closed doors. We're with family, you know, you can sit around with your pajamas on and you can relax and people know you more on a private level. And then there's those secret thoughts, those secret things that nobody else sees. Nobody else sees in the open and out in the public, and there's nobody else sees as in a family. It's those things in those private life where God, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I feel like it's necessary to say, but God sees that, and he paid a price for that as well. Those things that we may have done, we may have thought that we got away with, and God speaks to us through our conscience, and he says, you know what? I'm aware of that. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to forgive you. Don't you thank God for the blood? Don't you thank God for the blood that he takes care of my mistakes that are out in the open? He takes care of my mistakes that are in the private, and he takes care of my mishandlings of things in secret. I am so thankful for the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews 9:15, it says, for this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that we were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. There is an inheritance for me. I don't know what I'm going to get. I don't know what my parents have for me when they go on. I know who the executor of the will is, and I know what they have. It doesn't matter. But God has something so much greater for us than what we could possibly inherit in this lifetime. It is something eternal. It is something of great value. It is something that can't be purchased in this life, but it is something eternal and something that I get to look forward to. It's something that we can have hope in. I am so thankful for the hope. Are you thankful for the blood of the Lamb? Are you thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus? Can we give God a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. I am so thankful that I am not in a hopeless situation. I'm thankful that my hope is renewed. I remember there was times when I would pray, and it would come to a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, and if anybody would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why don't you come forward? And I came so many times. I was like tired. I felt bad for the people that were praying for me. Everybody know there was like 9 years between the time I was baptized in Jesus' name, but the time I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm like, Lord, do I have to keep, do I keep coming here? And as much as I may be discouraged at those nights after I left, I woke up in the morning. I'd be driving to work. I look in my rearview mirror. I saw this rainbow. And you know what? All that discouragement, all that frustration was gone. God renewed my sense of hope. He's like, you know, I know right where you are. I got to do some more tweaking in your life. I got to do some more tweaking in your mind. I got to make some more adjustments. I remember Brother Davis was saying this. He would use this kind of like a dial, this kind of visual. And he goes, I just need to tweak it a little bit more. I remember anybody had UHF, VHF, those little antennas where you put a little tinfoil on the top back before we had all this fancy cable television. And I remember things were distorted, and I couldn't see things very well. But I remember leading up to the week that God filled me with the Spirit. It was like those pixels. It was like everything that looked that was snowy that didn't make an image was starting to come. It, like those antennas were just getting right where they should be. All that frustration, all that discouragement was gone in Jesus' name. And I could see things like in a way that I never could see them before. And it was God renewing my hope along the way. I'm so thankful for the hope that he gives. I'm thankful for the blood, and I'm thankful for the hope. I believe we all get discouraged at times. And we maybe feel like we hit a wall. Like, this is as far as I can go. I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to take this. I don't know where to go in this situation in my life. But the Lord is a way maker, and he gives us hope, and I'm so thankful for that. You know what's encouraging for others that don't have the hope that we have is when we walk in his light and we have that hope and we have that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, and we go out into the world, we go out into the workplace, and people see that. They may be in a hopeless situation, but they are looking for the vessels that God has poured himself into. And at times they were hopeless, and they felt hopeless, but they see God's light shining in us. In Jesus' name, is that beacon of light, is that lighthouse? Wherever you go, when you leave here and you in the presence of God, that's why it's so important to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I need to keep my vessel full. I need to be a lighthouse for those lost. In Jesus' name, that the hopeless may have hope. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love these scriptures, and I love how we can read the Old Testament and New Testament, how it comes together. And here's a couple examples. He was to be born in Bethlehem, but thou, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That is in the Old Testament. In Psalms 22, 16 and 18, it says, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and feet, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture, which means they throw dice for my clothing. 900 years between when David wrote that in Psalms, before we see that in Matthew. how the Old Testament, how this plan from the old, from the ancient times, he had this plan. It was no accident. He knew he gave Adam and Eve a free will to do what they were going to do. And he had a backup plan for that. God always has a backup plan for us. That's where we have our hope. We may feel like we've done everything we were supposed to do in life. We thought we crossed every T and dotted every I. And Lord, I've done my best, Lord, and I don't know what else to do. But God, he gives me hope. I am not in a hopeless situation. I am so thankful for that. He is always looking ahead. He is always going forward. When I pray for my kids, before I go to work the night before, I'm praying over the people that I work with, the people that I work for my children. Am I thankful for looking throughout Scripture? God says, I go before you. I'm going ahead of you. I have this. We need to be encouraged that God is going ahead of us. He is preparing something new for us in Jesus' name. We need to constantly be encouraged. We need to encourage each other. I'm not in a dead-end situation. This isn't as far as life is going to take me right here and right now. God has more for me, and I'm going to speak to every generation for this. Whether you are in your 30s or 40s or 70s and 80s, God still has something for you. He has more. He is not done. If you're breathing, he has more for you. Don't have the give-up mentality. We need to be encouraged when we come together. God has more for you, Brother Matt. God has more for you, Brother Kellum. God has more. God has more for you, Brother Span. You're still coming here, a trustee for how many terms? God has more for him. God has more for you, Sister Day. God has more for you, Brother Kellum. I'm looking forward to the next time that he gets to teach, because one thing that he said that encouraged me throughout this whole week that I can never let go of, about by his stripes we are healed, about God, we want to see physical healings. I want to see certain people healed that have lived with certain physical ailments. And I believe this without a doubt, that we're going to see things in these last days that we've only heard about. We heard about them 100 years ago on Azusa Street. But I believe God wants to do some things that only God could see in secret. Those are these internal wounds. Those are the things that nobody could see on the surface. Nobody could see when it says, good morning, praise the Lord, brother or sister. Nobody could see in your family when you're home alone in your pajamas on your computer. But only things that God could see in private. Those inner wounds that you carry, that you bandage up before you walk to the house of the Lord, God wants to heal those too. I am so, you know what? I want to see limbs regrow on somebody's arm or leg. But I want to see somebody that has been bandaged up and has battle wounds that they've been carrying with them for generations, for months and years, that they are walking around bleeding with a bleeding heart. An aching head. Sister Davis, you know the rest of that song. That's about all I know. But she may sing that a little bit later before the end of the morning. Thank God for the blood. He's a protecting lamb. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. That blood made a way for me, but it did something for my enemy as well. It put the enemy under my feet. Lord, you took me to a higher place, but you did something. It's a two-part thing. God delivered me. God saved me. He took me to a higher place, but he put the enemy underneath my feet. Thank God for the blood. When the blood of the Passover lamb was properly obtained and applied to the door, posts, and lintels, those who remained within the marks of the houses were saved from the wrath scheduled for Egypt. The blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, had become a covering of protection for all those who were obedient to God's command. It's not enough just to believe, but I need to be obedient to the Word of God. I need to be submitted to the will of God. Jesus was a perfect example of being submitted to heaven. His will, to having his flesh line up with the will of God. Thank God for his blood. The next day, Jesus Christ is our Lamb. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming into him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The Lord has used multiple means of communication to transmit his will and his plan to mankind. If you really seek him, you will find him. There is no accident. This is something that is intentional. You just aren't going to stumble upon it. Well, I accidentally just spoke in tongues for the first time. No, it is intentional. You're going to give him your whole heart. You're going to seek him with everything if you're going to find him. The Ethiopian eunuch was searching in the scriptures, and God sent Philip along. God is a way maker. It is not by accident. It is intentional. And he says, there is nobody that's going to have an excuse for not making it. God, if you start to seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. That is a guarantee. That is a promise. And God has not lied on one thing. If he was unfaithful or untrue in one thing, that would discredit everything. But God is faithful. If he promised you something, he will do it. He will fulfill it in Jesus' name. It may not be in the time frame or how you think it would happen, but God will do it. Rest assured in Jesus' name. Does anybody have a testimony here this morning that can honestly say with uplifted hand, God is faithful and he fulfilled a promise that he has for me in Jesus' name? If he has filled you with his spirit, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and your sins were washed away, he has fulfilled a promise in your life in Jesus' name. Thank God for the blood. In the purchased blood in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In Jesus' name, the perfect sacrifice. There is a price to be paid for the debt for sin. Silver or gold or bartering or putting a second mortgage on your house will not cover it. It is only by the blood of the Lamb. This will not be adequate to pay for your sin, any of those other things. In the realm of the Spirit, only blood is adequate for a good exchange. The animal blood shed in the Old Testament times must have served as something as an order of an IOU, as a promissory note. This is a temporary thing. This will not. This is not something that is a fix-all for things, but this is something that just keeps, I need to just push these shins forward. I looked up how many pints of blood are in a human body. About an average person is around 10 pints of blood. Lord, I believe he looked over multiple generations, over hundreds of years, and saw the blood that was shed, and he said, my creation, this is not how I planned it. This is not how I wanted it to be. I am tired of seeing this blood shed, and it's just pushing things off on a temporary basis, but I'm going to come and roll myself in flesh, and I am going to settle this thing once and for all, because I am tired of seeing this precious, innocent, spotless, blameless blood being shed. I will put it upon myself to take care of this once and for all in Jesus' name. So all those thousands upon thousands of gallons upon endless numbers amounts of blood that was shed, that was poured out at the altar, God says, 10 pints is all it's going to take to settle this debt forever. Thank God for the blood. Justified by the blood. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is where the justifying power of the blood of the Lamb comes into play. To be justified is to be rendered just or innocent. It is a covering. It is a washing away. I don't have to take this with me when I breathe my last breath. That sin that put a stain on me, that there is no amount of Tide, no amount of bleach that would get rid of it. It was covered, it was washed away in the baptismal in Jesus' name when I went down in his name. There is power in the blood and there is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I cannot help but at times have an expression of gratitude for what he has done for me. Redeemed by the blood, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred of every tongue, every people, and every nation. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. God saved me here. He saved every one of every missionary that took out and gave up their life to go to the uttermost part of the world in Jesus' name. We're going to see people from different ethnicities, from different nations, different colors of skin. They were raised differently. We're going to be in one mind and one accord. What a powerful thing. What an amazing thing that we get to look forward to someday after we breathe our last breath. To see lost loved ones, but to see the ones, brothers and sisters that we've never met before. That we are all going to be in the family of God together, worshiping Him in one mind and one accord. That is so awesome. That is so something to look forward to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word redeem means to properly go to market. It means to purchase. It means He went out of His way to do this for me. Sanctified by the blood, by the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. In Hebrews 13:12 it says, therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Sanctified means to just set apart, to make holy, to purify, to free from the guilt of sin, to purify internally by the renewing of the soul. I'm so thankful for that, that He did that. He took me off the auction block of sin and set me aside as His special treasure. He didn't have to do this, but it was His desire. It is my desire to live my life, to do everything I can to please Him, to do everything I can for Him. In this vapor of a life that I have left, I want to do everything I can for Him because of everything that He has done for me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When a housewife sets a special set of dishes aside for company, it doesn't mean that they are of any more value than any other set that she would have for her family any given day of the week, but they are sanctified, they are set aside. You this morning went in your closets and you have some clothes that you set aside and you take to the cleaners and you bring home and that you have pressed a certain way, and they are sanctified and they are sanctified. They're set apart for coming to the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. It's the same thing. God, we sanctify, we set things apart. Living by the Lamb in John 6:53, it says, then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of His blood, ye have no life in Him. Jesus, let it be known that our source of strength and life is found in Him and through His sacrifice for us. As we make His life our life and His ways our ways, we find strength and power growing within us. When I line up my will with His will, be it unto me, Lord, according to Your will. In Jesus' name, let this life, let people see a reflection of You in me. The Lord will refine you, and I could testify of this. He will refine you until you're going to go through fire in this life. You're going to go through fire in this walk with God. When people say, you go up to them and they act spiritual and you say, hey, how are you doing, brother or sister? Oh, excellent. Everything is great. You know what? I'm sorry. But if we are honest with each other and honest with ourselves, no. Sometimes we are going through the fire. Sometimes things aren't going as well as we might let other people to believe they are. But they're not. But God wants to see Himself in us. He paid a price. Lord, whatever You want to do to me, whatever You want to do, change my heart, oh God, change my mind. Lord, I want You to have Your will and Your way in my life because You've done so much for me. Uh-huh. I cannot tell it all. You've done so much for me, for He has taken my sins away. The Passover delivered Israel from Egypt, and the flesh and the blood of continuing sacrifices in the wilderness helped sustain them, both physically and spiritually, on their journey to Canaan. It was not enough just to have an initial experience of deliverance. Their continued existence and progress was based on their dependence on the flesh of blood that required sacrifices. So today, our deliverance comes by the obedience to the gospel, if we could stand. The death, which is repentance, the burial and baptism, and the resurrection, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. His flesh and blood became acceptable to us through prayer, through Bible reading, preaching of the word, consecration, and obedience. I don't just agree and believe, but I have to be obedient to his will and his way. Lord, have your will and your way in my life, Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your will. Lord, may you look at me, Lord. If I truly love you, Lord, I want to please you with my whole heart in Jesus' name, Lord. For the blood that you shed for me, you didn't have to do it. It's because you wanted to do it. Lord, you don't need me. I need you. In Jesus' name, Lord, you are self-sufficient, Lord. You don't need us for anything, Lord, but we need you for everything. Lord, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the blood that healed me, that saved me, that delivered me. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
For we reach us to the highest land.
Find a place to pray. Are you thankful for the blood? Classes will be returning momentarily. Why don't you find an opportunity, take this opportunity, find a place to pray. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the cross. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Lord, I'm so thankful. Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
For we chased to the highest mountain.
Oh, Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Krager, for such a wonderful word. I'm thankful for the blood. I'm thankful for the blood. There's an old song of the church that I loved as a kid. I think I liked it because of the repeat you could do on the chorus. The verses said something like this. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top with many names below, but I went into the keeper and settled long ago. I'm thankful his blood paid the debt of my sin. I'm thankful that I now stand free. My record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. I stand justified in the Spirit. Why? Because of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful. I don't know about you, but I think we should applaud the Lord for his goodness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I ask that you would reverence the sanctuary if you're not praying and you need to converse or do other stuff. If you would go outside the sanctuary to do so, let's make this house of prayer for the next few moments as our classes return. God bless you this morning.